Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 394 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Shanae.
Shanae, we loved you so much that we brought you back. Has there anything that you learned from recording last week's episode that's going to make you even better podcaster this episode?
I would say probably using different headphones next time.
Different headphones next time. That's totally fair. And I would like very quickly before we get into our facts for you to tell everybody that's listening, what is your hosting style? How would you describe yourself as a trivia host?
I would say I'm pretty laid back. I generally try to like joke around and like play tricks on people that are like playing trivia with me. So I will sometimes like intentionally say the wrong answer for like a really easy question that like I'm certain 100% of people would get, and then see if they're paying attention. And if like someone objects, I'll be like, oh, well, just wanted to see if you were listening. And we all have fun.
I love that. I also really love to say the wrong answer if it's a 50-50 thing, right? Like, and the answer, or, you know, the number two, red, and everybody cheers. And if you had red, you were wrong. The answer is actually blue, and people lose their minds, and it's the best. And I miss those live interactions where you can just see people throw their hands up. But we digress. I'll have to find new ways to torture people, and it can be with interesting facts. So, Shanae, why don't you kick us off today? Because I'm looking and making eye contact with you. So you start us off.
All right. So I'll go ahead and start with my fact. I thought it would be really interesting because it's fall. And in Trader Joe's, there's like a ton of pumpkin stuff and food and plants. And I bought some because I fell for it. So now I have pumpkins in my apartment. But my question is, the precursor to the pumpkin, what vegetable was first used to make jack-o'-lanterns?
Ooh.
Okay.
How very fall-centric.
Yeah.
could I get this particular vegetable at like a Starbucks? Like, is there, you know, something spiced with this?
No. That's a good question.
Will I find it in a box of Cheerios? Because they have pumpkin spice Cheerios now.
No.
Of course they do.
I don't think so.
Maybe I thought I saw, maybe it was, maybe did I get fake news? Is that a verb now? Pumpkin spice Oreos, or maybe, I don't know. Maybe I saw a blog of things that should be pumpkin spice. I don't know. I had an interesting fact about pumpkin spice a while ago, and there's not a lot of pumpkin in pumpkin spice.
There's no pumpkin in pumpkin spice.
Yeah. Okay. So guys, Michael, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking cucumbers.
Cucumbers. Ooh. Okay. That would be kind of hard to carve, wouldn't it?
It would be. I'm trying to think of vegetable sizes.
And you came up with cucumbers as a logical choice for carving?
I missed you, Nick. yeah,
it would
I don't
be
know.
Very phallic.
Yeah. And I'm strangely okay with that.
Okay. Nick, what are you thinking? I have a guess. I have actually a guess that makes sense and is logical. But if you take it, I'll be mad.
I'm thinking I know what the answer is. So why don't you go ahead and give us your guess?
Okay. I think when you're talking about big things that you're going to carve, I think butternut squashes are pretty big, if I recall. So I think butternut squash, and I also like the idea that they're still orangish and kind of traditional. So it would make sense to segue from a butternut squash to a pumpkin. But also gourds are very, you know, similar rounded shape, whereas butternut squash is a little bit taller. Yep. But I'm still going to go with my gut, stick butternut squash because the orange.
Squash was what I meant to say.
Sorry.
Wait, instead of saying squash, you said cucumber, and it didn't register until Lindsay said squash?
I was.
All right, Michael.
It's been a special kind of day for me.
It's almost lunchtime. I'm going to send you a salad from DoorDash.
Michael, I'll send you some pumpkin spice Cheerios because they are, in fact, a thing. I just double-checked.
Wonderful.
Okay, right. So I'm butternut squash. Michael said cucumber. Nick, what's your guess?
I believe my guess is the correct answer, which, believe it or not, I think Michael was a little bit closer. It's the turnip.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have you guys, well, Nick, you might have done this, but have you guys, like, looked up what turnip jack-o'-lanterns look like. Do it at your own risk because they are
terrifying.
Quite scary.
They're terrifying. Yeah. It's a root vegetable carved in, it's, you know, the original intent, I believe, was to ward off evil spirits. So yes. It's kind of like the scarecrow sort of mentality.
Whoa, Shanae, this, you know that I'm accessing my computer right now and you were like, hey, just Google this thing. It's not a big deal. It's a turn up. It's a little scary.
It's not at your own risk.
This is terrifying. Do not, we got to put a not safe for children warning on this episode of the podcast because I'm going to have nightmares about these freaking turnips.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a completely different reaction, which was they need to incorporate this in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, they're very mummified, shrunken head looking stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
looks like they have teeth.
Some of them do. You carve teeth in your pumpkins, don't you?
Not
yeah,
like
they look
this.
Like humans.
Yeah, they are terrifying.
Lindsay is looking disturbed.
This is just, it's too much for me to handle. I thought I had enough nightmares in 2020, but no, they keep piling on more and more nightmares. Just okay, cool. Well, Shanae, it has been so great to have you on the We Don't Know Either podcast. Thank you for your contribution.
Oh no, I broke it. I broke the podcast.
Okay, so do you guys have a segue from Shanae's turnip horror?
No. Right.
Mine's kind of about food, so I can make that little segue.
I got a long one, so all you.
All right, awesome. So turnips are food, you know, it does take a lot of effort to carve turnips. And something that we often take for granted was that back in the old days, you had to make your own bread. And it was also took a lot of effort to actually cut that into slices, right? So the invention of sliced bread, there's a reason that we call it the greatest
one of the greatest inventions. Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest thing since sliced bread. One of Nick's favorite facts is to always mention that Betty White is older than sliced bread. Betty White, born in 1926, the machine that invented sliced bread, 1928. So I got to thinking, who is this inventor of sliced bread? Who is this guy? So his name's Otto Frederick Rodenweller. I'm sorry, Otto, if I'm saying that wrong, but Sir Otto was not in the bread making industry since birth, right? He came to this, he had a great idea for his invention. He designed the machine, he got his patent, he changed the food industry forever. So I'd like to know though, what was he doing prior to the invention of the sliced bread machine? So he actually owned a few stores and I'd like to know what those stores were. What was his occupation, if you will, prior to inventing the sliced bread machine?
I'm going to say a hardware store.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
So somebody that has saws lying around.
Right. He just dropped a pitchfork one day onto a fresh loaf of bread and boom, sliced bread.
Exactly.
Love it.
Shanae, what are you thinking?
Ooh. I think I'm thinking that he must have been in like agriculture. Oh, well, no. I mean, like he could have like food stands and like be selling like produce and things like that. So yeah, I'll go with that guess since it's food related.
This is another one I know the answer to.
So, go ahead then, Nick, say it.
He made jewelry.
He did, yes. He was a jeweler. He owned 3 jewelry shops, and then he thought that this sliced bread invention was really great, and he was like, nah, I'm going to sell these. Had a couple setbacks, some blueprints burned down, took him years after selling the shops to actually get the bread machine up and running. People were aghast at this at first, you know, they like couldn't process that something could slice your bread automatically for you, and a bakery in the hometown of Missouri took a chance, and a few years later, it was nationwide.
The hometown of Missouri?
Wow.
Oh, sorry. His hometown in Missouri.
Got it.
Thank you. Yeah. The blueprints catching on fire, though, that was almost the invention of toast.
Oh. So close. So close. He got his degree in optics for a while. This man has done a lot of things, including one of the most important inventions of all time. And I wanted to follow up. I have a bonus fact for you guys. Bonus fact. And I don't feel bad about it because last week I only had a little bit. So my bonus fact. So they actually banned sliced bread in World War II. I didn't know this, right? They, you know, they obviously were rationing gas and collecting aluminum and, you know, all everything went into the production of wartime necessities. So they banned sliced bread because they needed the machinery parts to make tanks, guns, et cetera, right? All the instruments of war. So they banned sliced bread. And I'd like to know, how long did that sliced bread ban last?
Okay.
5 years.
5 years? One of,
yeah, the first thing that was lifted is me, as soon as they went back to normal production.
I'm going even less. I'm thinking that, like, people had sliced bread and then you took it away and they were like, okay, you got to leave us something. So I'm going to say like 6 months.
At least give us back our sliced bread.
At least, like, we are giving a lot right to the war effort. At least give us our sliced bread.
Right. There's a lot of marching and protests, but they settled for, look, if you just give us the sliced bread, we're cool for a little while. Right. Okay.
All right. So Michael says 6 months. Nick says 6 years, 5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
Five years. And Shanae, what are you saying?
I'm going to go the opposite direction because I think when you take it away, you're stopping production, probably redistributing resources to create something else. So, like, going back to creating, like, sliced bread might take a little bit longer. So I'm going to say maybe, like, 10 years.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. So it actually, Michael, you hit the nail dead on the head. Well, wait, dead on the head, is that the phrase?
Hit the nail on the head.
Hit the nail on the head. Okay, so you were wrong with your number, but your logic was sound. So it only lasted 3 months. So in 1943, January, they banned sliced bread. And by March of 1943, they were like, all right, you can have your bread again. Government said that it was because, you know, they didn't save as much for machines. But a lot of people think, and historians say, that it was really because people were so outraged about it. One woman wrote to the New York Times, I should like to let you know how important sliced bread is to the morale and saneness of a household. And like they wrote in, there was this huge uproar, and this was an invention that had only occurred 20 years ago. So when you're talking about important inventions that changed America, sliced bread is at the top. So thanks, Otto.
I mean, to be fair, ubiquitous inventions that were from 20 years ago, wouldn't the equivalent these days essentially be like the internet?
Well, the first internet was like 1991, so that is very, very...
Yeah. First internet, but like ubiquitous usage, like across the board, everybody having it all the time, you know, like
a cell phone, iPod, et cetera.
A loaf of sliced bread in every home kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how long, if the government said, you know what, in order to save resources, nobody gets any internet, that would...
Oh, good luck with that.
30 minutes, maybe less.
Well, maybe more, because how else would people organize?
No, that's true. Everybody would go outside at the same time. That's how.
That reminds me of the Pokemon Go summer. But anyway, okay, so there's my fact about sliced bread. So, Nick, Michael, I believe it is to the two of you to segue, please.
I can go really, really a long way around if you want me to.
If I pull something, okay, it's going to be the same.
So Shanae said something about reallocating resources and moving away from one thing and into another thing. And one thing that does a really terrible job of reallocating resources is the NFL all-time scoring leader. 49 out of the 50 all-time scoring leaders are kickers. Mm-hmm. All of their eggs are in one basket. All of their resources in one place. Who is the only non-kicker in the top 50?
I think I know this, so I'll hold off.
I used to know this. I asked this question a couple years ago. It was in my brain somewhere. I'm hungry and thinking about bread, so it's not really quite coming to mind. Shanae, are you a football fan? Do you watch football?
No, I was going to say, I have no idea what this is. I don't watch football that much.
Cool. What would be the position? Like, would it be a quarterback? Would it be, I would assume it'd be a running back. So Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders is a running back.
Cool.
Pretty good guess.
Shanae, do you have any guess at all?
Ooh, I can just like say a random name and it'll probably be wrong.
Welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast.
Why don't I? Okay, so I went to UGA and we've had a few like college football players go to professional football. So I'll just say one of those people. I'm going to say Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones. All right. And Michael?
I think for some reason it's Jerry Rice.
Okay. Is that your guess, or is it?
That's my guess.
You did it with the question mark at the end, the Jerry I did. Rice.
It's sticking out for some reason. I want to say it's a wide receiver and not running back that's in the top 50. And the reason quarterback would make sense, but quarterbacks don't have usually as long careers as some of the long-term wide receivers. Yeah, I'm going to say Jerry Rice.
All right. Well, Shanae, Jarvis Jones, my list only goes through the top 250 people on the all-time scoring list. But there's a lot of ties, so it actually goes up to about 300 people. Jarvis Jones, not on the list, unfortunately. Lindsay, Barry Sanders, number 125 all-time with 654 points.
Darn it.
Yeah. Number one all time, in case you're interested, is Adam Vinatieri, who just retired.
I didn't know that. If you asked that question, I would have had the correct answer.
Right. And that's just to give you an idea, 2,673 points is how many points he had over his 23-year career.
Whoa.
So longevity is a big part of it. One of the reasons Barry Sanders wasn't higher up the list is because he only played for 9 seasons.
Right.
So, like I said, all of them kickers, as a matter of fact, other than the person who's in the top 50, there's not another non kicker until you get to Emmett Smith at number 57. But number 38 all time in scoring is wide receiver Jerry Rice.
Ooh, good job, Michael.
It's a very good guess, Michael. One of the things that I think is amazing is you have somebody like Greg Zuerlein, who is currently the kicker for the Dallas Cowboys, who's been in the league since it's been 7 years, I think, that he's been in the league. He's already in the top 100. Like, he's number 82 all time. So kickers just score, I guess.
Was he with Minnesota before?
I was with the Rams.
With the Rams, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I can understand why an LA team wouldn't register for you for some reason.
Okay, Michael, you got your
segue?
Not the
real LA team. It's all about the Chargers.
If it makes you happy, Nate Kading is number 80 on the all-time list. So
it does. Thank you for that. Okay. I don't have one from football, unfortunately. But speaking of things that are horrific, as Shanae's fact was, psychopaths.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. You can't make a connection from football, an inherently violent game, to psychopaths?
Right. Also,
you're better than that, Michael.
After Shanae did her terrifying turnips, you're like, I don't have a good one.
It was going to be a stretch because I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
Okay.
If you actually go into Webster's and open up the definition for psychopath, you get people who don't put cases on their iPhones. Not many people know that.
And that, you know what? That's your secret phrase. Not many people know that.
Not many people know that is your secret phrase. Not many people know that. Shanae, what's the secret phrase?
Not many people know that.
Cool.
What do you call people who don't put screen protectors on their iPhones?
Psychopaths.
I don't trust you. If you don't have a case on your phone, I don't trust you.
Don't trust people with cracked screens either, but that's a different thing.
I don't know. Joey didn't have a case on his iPhone for a long time, and I was concerned. And then he's like, no, I just take care of my things. And then I held his phone and almost dropped it, and he got a case.
He got it for you.
So this is a study that was put out by Square Trade. The question is, what percentage of iPhone users don't have any protection on their phone?
Ew.
Ooh, that makes me cringe.
A little bit, right?
I'm getting all sweaty. Cool. Well, I mean, what do you think, Shanae? What are your thoughts? How many people do you know that don't have cases? How likely do you think it is to not have a case?
Hmm. So any protection at all? I would say probably a low percentage just because like they are pretty fragile. So if you're burned once, you learn your lesson. So I'm gonna say maybe like 15%.
15%. So I know that there was a whole thing about like not having a case on your iPhone being like a status symbol.
Ew.
Like, yeah, doesn't matter if I drop my phone, I'll just go buy another one. Right? Like that
Eat
kind
the
of thing.
rich.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I think I'm with Shanae. I'm actually gonna go lower here. I'm gonna say 5% of people don't have a case on their phone because, you know, you'd have to be dumb not to. And by the way, I'd also like to say how ridiculous it is that all of these phone companies talk about like the thickness of their phone. Like we've been able to drop from the iPhone 9 to the iPhone, you know, 10 by 1 millimeter. It's 1 millimeter thinner. Now we had to get rid of the headphone jack, but it's 1 millimeter thinner, which brings the total measurement down to 1 inch once you put a battery case on it.
I'd much rather have the audio jack
Yeah.
back in my headphone jack. I miss that so much. But as somebody who's gone through a lot of screen protectors, have dropped a lot of iPhones, including one into a toilet, fell right out my back pocket. That was terrible. Once I had another phone in a back pocket, I didn't have a case on it, and I dropped it on the ground. The whole thing shattered, and I got back to my house, and the case was sitting in the package outside my front door. But insurance didn't cover it because I had just bought the iPhone 24 hours in advance. It was terrible. I also broke an OtterBox at one point, which
How do
is
you do
how?
that?
Wow.
I found a way, you know, just like Malcolm in the Jurassic Park franchise, life finds a way.
Life
I
finds a
find a
way,
way
Lindsay.
to break technology. But I think that it's probably one in 10. I think 90% of people have cases, and I think one in 10 people's a psychopath. So, you know, you've met a murderer in your lifetime who's probably carves turnips. So, full circle.
Okay, so according to this study, it is about 25%.
Oh, wow.
One out of every four people is insane.
Is absolutely insane. The crazy stat about this, Nick, Shanae, I don't know your cell phone choices. The majority of people that don't have cases on their phone are Android users.
Yeah, well, Android users are generally better people, although more insane. I will accept that.
Man, the judgment is coming in harsh on this last little bit here.
My
I just
case.
saw Shanae's Apple Watch there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Apple all day.
I could also say 25% of this podcast is an Android user, but I think,
Yes.
do you have a case on your phone, Shanae?
I do.
Okay,
I
see.
do have. I was going to say this earlier, but I was kind of embarrassed because you said you judge people with cracked
Oh,
screen.
she's got a cracked screen.
Oh, no.
No, so I have a cracked screen
Oh,
protector,
that,
not a
oh,
cracked
that's,
screen.
no, that's
I
fine.
needed to buy stock in cracked screen protectors. I got like a box full of them. So I'm with you. I feel you.
There's this place by my house. We were there, and my wife always cracks her screen protector and then never changes it. So I'm like, the whole point of a screen protector is to peel the crack thing off and not live with the cracked screen. So we were in the little strip mall by my house, and there was a replaced your screen protector thing. And she goes in there and goes, "Can you take care of this?" The guy did. It was $2 for a new screen protector, and he peeled it off and replaced the new one. And my wife is like, "I will never go more than an hour with a cracked screen protector from here forward."
The best $2 she ever spent.
Yeah.
But we gotta go. We gotta wrap it up. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Shanae.
And we don't know either.
Bye.